glory of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. If anyone's visiting, I really want to welcome with you. I hope you get a little taste of what we are here at Chaz Church and know that we proclaim the life that's resurrected in Jesus Christ here every Sunday. So hope that you come to worship with us again in the future. If any children are being released to Children's Church, they could come forward at this time. And everyone else would ask that you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be reading from verses 12 through 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. Thankful for their song this morning. They did a wonderful job. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. This is the word of the Lord. Join me in prayer. You have done it, Lord. You have defeated sin and conquered the grave. You are our risen Lord. You rule as King. Help us to see you. Help us to see this morning, yes, Christ crucified. But help us to see that you did not stay in the grave, Lord Jesus. You arose and you conquered death. You defeated your enemies and our enemies, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to see it. There's individuals in this room who have never seen the truth of this, Lord, never seen their need of a Savior. Have never truly believed that he did conquer the grave, that he rose and there is a resurrection for those who trust in him. So I pray that you work faith in hearts this morning and help us to just all celebrate, those of us who are in you, what you have accomplished on our behalf. Father, I pray that you guide me and lead me. Spirit, as Brother Joe mentioned, give me unction to preach your word and power. Sustain me, Lord. Take your word and apply it to our hearts, Lord. You are my only hope. You are our only hope. Help us to see you clearly this morning. We pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. What if it didn't happen? What if there was no resurrection? What if Christ did not get out of the grave? What would be the implications of that? These are questions posed by our text in front of us this morning, and these are questions that I hope to answer. But let me simply give you the short of it, I don't want anyone guessing where we are going. If Christ has not been raised, if the resurrection did not occur, we sung of a living hope this morning. If Christ didn't conquer the grave, there is no hope. We're hopeless. The world is hopeless, really, if what we proclaim, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen, we're all better off going home right now. No need to listen to anything that I have to say. Because Christ's resurrection is the linchpin. It's what all our hope hinges on. If it didn't happen, it all falls apart. Christianity falls apart. There is no hope. But we gather this morning to praise the Lord Jesus Christ that he has risen. That's what we proclaim as the church of the living God. There is life because of his life. There will be no more death for us who have trusted in him because he has died on our behalf. And if he didn't die and he didn't raise, death would be all that there was. And let me illustrate the importance of this at a practical level. We've all been to funerals before. And you'll notice a stark difference if you go to a funeral of someone who has the hope that we proclaim here this morning, who has trusted in Christ, and someone who hasn't. When you go to the funeral of someone who has no hope, has not trusted in Christ, it's sad. And all funerals are sad, right? Like, it's a time of mourning. But when you're at the funeral and the graveside of someone who didn't know the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no hope there. There's no true hope for them. You'll get people saying things like to comfort themselves, oh, they're in a better place, although they have nothing to base this on, because if they have not trusted in the risen Lord who conquered death, they have no hope of a resurrection to look forward to, at least not one towards anything good, not one towards life. And here's the thing, every funeral that has ever existed would be hopeless if the resurrection did not occur. But on the flip side, if you attend the funeral of someone who has trusted in Christ, someone who has the hope of the resurrection, yes, it's a time of mourning, but as Christians, we mourn, yes, but not without hope. In many ways, it's a celebration because we know what they have to look forward to. And brothers and sisters, right? If anyone's concerned with the thought of death coming upon them soon, if you've trusted in Christ, you have the hope of resurrection to look forward to. Your funeral will be a celebration because Christ's victory is your victory. For those who have died in Christ, there is a hope of a future for them. Death is not the end of good things for them. It's really just the beginning of the good things that are to come for them. And in an odd way to say for the Christian that death is really a celebration, that's bizarre. Like if someone's in this room and you haven't trusted in Christ, and you hear me up here saying in many ways death for the Christian is a celebration, it's fair if you think that sounds insane. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. In many ways, the Apostle Paul wouldn't blame you either, because what he's saying here is if the resurrection hasn't occurred, I'm a lunatic. Paul's a lunatic. Christians are lunatics. He's very honest. And as Christians, we can be honest too. Because as this text says, if what we celebrate this morning did not happen, we are to be pitied. 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 But praise God that it has. And that's what we proclaim. He is risen. That there, there is hope, and it's found in Christ alone. Look at verses 1 through 4. I didn't read them, but this is going to give you a little bit of the context of where we're at today. So Paul, in verse 1, says, as he's writing to the church in Corinth, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received." I preached something to you, you received it. "In which you stand," that's what they're standing in, and that's what you're being saved by, "if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So what was the message preached by Paul? In essence, what is the gospel? What are those Paul writes to being saved by? In light of we've had some recent discussions with individuals of being baptized and joining church and becoming church members, right? I think this is probably the most succinct summary statement of what the gospel is. Verses 3 through 4, Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance," this is what is of first importance, "what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and on the third day was raised in accordance with the scriptures." Paul's saying this is what he preached to those he wrote to in Corinth. And this is the message we proclaim as the church. And this is the message that we are saved by, unless we believed in vain, unless the resurrection did not occur. And if there's no resurrection of Christ, we certainly have no hope of a resurrection for ourselves. We have no hope of eternal life. We did believe in vain. And that's exactly what Paul's addressing in our text today. We're gonna see that he's addressing the denial of the resurrection in verses 12 through 13. The implications of that are gonna be teased out in our text this morning. He writes in verse 12, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead?" Like, Paul preached a particular message to them that proclaimed Christ's resurrection. Again, we've established he's preached to them the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. That's at the core of Christianity, right? And he's saying, how could you believe in what I preached to you without believing in the hope of a resurrection? Because that's integral to Christianity. And there's gonna be people who sit here this morning, especially on Easter, and they think to themselves, "I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus." But they deny his atoning sacrifice on the cross. They deny that he died for their sins in accordance with the scriptures. They deny that he rose from the grave. They don't really believe he was God. A great moral teacher, sure, is that not the spirit of the age, right? Many people don't have problems with much of Jesus' teachings. They'll go love your neighbor as yourself. I love what Jesus teaches. See, I love it. And look at the church. They should be more like Jesus. They should be more like Jesus. He loved everyone, right? So if you believe in a statement of Jesus' moral teaching, such as love your neighbor as yourself, right? Well, certainly you must believe in Jesus and his words, such as John 14:6, when he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If love your neighbor as yourself is worth any weight, certainly his other statements must be. Similarly, John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. We must certainly believe what he said when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live." See how Paul is saying, how could you say there's no resurrection for you if you believe in Christ and he was raised from the dead, and he says you're gonna live if you've trusted in him. He says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus himself in that text says, do you believe this? I think that's an important question to ask ourselves this morning as we're at church on Easter Sunday. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? And it would have made sense that those Paul writes to in Corinth were struggling with this, right? So in Greece, in their culture, where Corinth was, they really would have had a hard time believing in the resurrection of the dead. What Paul preached, Christ raised from the grave, when he told that to those in Athens in the book of Acts, what they predominantly do is they mock him. They mock him. They would have thought it foolish because to them, they're really influenced by their philosophy, by their culture, all these things, right? That's what they trusted in. And what the philosophy of the day would have taught was that soul good, body bad. Soul divine, body evil. So for them, it would have been preposterous to think that the body would go on to resurrect, to live forever. Why would someone who died, it's as if they would think their soul was liberated from this wicked chamber. Why on earth would we ever want it to be reunited to that in a resurrection? So again, it would have been preposterous to them. So it makes sense why they would have struggled with this concept of a bodily resurrection for the believers of Jesus Christ. And then therefore the implication of that is no resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And so again, it makes sense, right? And he's gonna start to break down though the implications of if there's no resurrection for those who have trusted in Jesus, verse 13 tells us again, throw it all out. If there's no resurrection for you, if the resurrection of the body is impossible, then it didn't happen to Christ. And if it didn't happen to Christ, he's gonna start to unpack how this just breaks everything that he's ever taught apart. It all hinges on this. But think about us this morning. We're probably not influenced necessarily by the same philosophical teachings as they were in Greece, in Athens, right? What you probably struggle most with is the fact that we proclaim this man who we also proclaim was God, truly man. And he suffered and he died for sin. And then 3 days later, he truly did rise from the dead. Like that's probably what sounds preposterous to you, right? You may think, well, that's incompatible with science. I'm not gonna believe that. And look, as Christians, like we appreciate science. Most of the scientists that came up with many modern theories were Christians. But you're gonna think, okay, I'm gonna trust in scientific evidence, and that's not necessarily lining up with what these individuals are saying. Now, mind you, if what we're saying is this man was God, certainly anything could have been accomplished by him. Or similarly to the Corinthians, you might be influenced by philosophy of the world, and you might not think of it as philosophy, but each and every one of us, we have a worldview, and it's shaped by the culture around you. And what the world is throwing at you and throwing at all of us is that Christ crucified and then conquering the grave 3 days later is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, right? So for the non-believer, you might struggle with, did Christ really conquer the grave? And for those of us who have trusted in Christ, we may struggle to comprehend the fact that one day, our bodies are truly gonna be raised with him. We're gonna walk this earth as it's renewed with the risen Savior himself. We're gonna rule and reign with him. It's hard for the Christian even to fathom that, to trust that this is really my hope. Like, if you're sick and you've got the potential of death coming down the pipe soon, it's not always easy for us to trust in the hope we have. We know it's true, right? But sometimes our faith in it wavers, right? But whether you're a Christian or not, this morning, what we need to be reminded of is the truth of the resurrection and the hope that it brings. And here's, it is impossible. It's impossible for Darren, after he dies, for his body to be resurrected. And it's impossible for the man Jesus Christ to have conquered the grave 3 days later. Humanly speaking, it's impossible, right? But the same way Jesus tells us it's impossible for us to save ourselves is the same reason we ultimately believe in the resurrection. And what he says is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible, right? And now there are a plethora of reasons, right, why we can trust that Jesus rose from the grave. And I'm not here to argue them all with you this morning, right? If you want to talk about them, I can point you in some of the right direction, right? Because I could convince you until you're blue in the face of why the resurrection can be trusted, and that's important. I can also reason with you of how there's no other worldview apart from Christianity that makes sense of the world, makes sense of evil, makes sense of suffering as an answer for these things, all these different things we wrestle with as humans. Again, not the scope necessarily of my sermon this morning, because what I really want to hammer home is it ultimately takes the illumination of the Holy Spirit himself to help you to see that what I proclaim here this morning is true. God needs to show you your need for a Savior. God needs to testify to you that he really has done it, that it truly is finished. And if he doesn't do that, if God doesn't act, like if the power of God isn't at work behind the preached word, behind anything I have to say, no hearts are going to change. You're not going to believe it. So if you struggle with the idea of a bodily resurrection, whether it be for the Christian or for Christ himself, that's not abnormal. That's not abnormal. In many ways, you're not the weird one. We are. What we proclaim sounds insane, right? That's what Paul says in Corinthians at other points. The message of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's what our salvation consists of. So if you're sitting there thinking, what is taught on Easter can't be true, it's impossible. Again, we give you that. Humanly speaking, it is. But for an infinite being, the one who created it all, the one who spoke creation into existence, the one who has all power, the one who governs all things, certainly it would be nothing for him to resurrect his son from the grave. He created the ground that Christ was buried in. He created human bodies. Certainly he could cause them to resurrect. Nonetheless, let's start to look at the implications of this. Like if there's no hope of a future bodily resurrection for those who have trusted in Christ, then therefore, again, in summary, what Paul tells us is Christ himself wasn't raised. Because where Christ goes, so the Christian goes. This is what, he is our hope. He is our everything. He went to the grave. He died for sin. Therefore, our sin is paid for. That death becomes our death. He rose from the grave. Therefore, we will rise from the dead. Everything for the Christian, all of our hope is bound up in Christ and who he is and what he has done and his righteousness and the love the Father has for him. All of our hope truly is in Jesus. So if there was no resurrection for him, there's certainly no hope of one for us. So let's look at the hopeless state we would be in if Christ didn't conquer the grave. Verse 14, I was kind of alluding to this. Read it with me, if you will, briefly. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is in vain. Right? Paul's like, look, if this did not really happen, if the gospel isn't true, if a literal man didn't literally die for your literal sin and literally rise from the grave, throw out everything else I've said. Throw it out. There's no power behind it. Right? Everything Paul said is in vain if Christ isn't risen. There's no weight to it. To quote a commentator, it would be void of all truth, void of all reality, void of all power. And your faith, those of you who have trusted in it, your faith would also be empty. It would be groundless. It'd be kind of like, you know, you ever see a little kid blow a bubble? There's nothing in it. You just pop, nothing to it. No substance. Paul's admitting, again, if Christ didn't do what we proclaim he did, everything the Christian says, everything he preached, there's no power behind it, there's no truth behind it, none of it makes a difference. Paul, again, he's honest. He's honest. If the gospel is not true and Christ didn't conquer the grave, Paul himself says, my words, they mean nothing. So certainly, if that was true of Paul, anything I have to say this morning, if this did not happen, would mean nothing, right? But why is that? Why is it that if Christ didn't rise from the grave, that our faith and everything preached by Paul and the Christian would be in vain? Well, it's multifaceted, right? But again, the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. And if Christ is dead, there's no power behind that. No resurrection, no power. No resurrection, sin not defeated. No resurrection, no death conquered. Christianity, apart from the resurrection, really apart from the gospel, is just moralism. It's a list of do's and don'ts with no power behind it. So again, if this did not happen, we're better off mowing our lawns on a Sunday morning than being at church. Because again, if the Apostle Paul says, my words are empty apart from the resurrection, certainly any preacher on a Sunday's words are empty apart from the resurrection. Because there's no substance to the Christian faith apart from it. It's just something that makes us feel better. Just brings us comfort, makes us feel better, no truth behind it, no power behind it. And this is what the world thinks of us, is it not? I mean, this is a quote. Someone said this to me before, and this is how people view the Christian. It's nice that your faith in Jesus makes you feel better. I'm happy for you. Glad you found something that works for you. Something that helps you. I mean, literally. I mean, multiple people said that to me before. As if we're talking about the tooth fairy or something. As if what we believe in has no substance to it. Just something that helps us to feel better about the realities of life, as if Christianity and Christ is just a narcotic to numb us from the pain of the world. Well, there's a lot of better options out there than Christianity that are going to call for a lot less sacrifice that you can look to if what we proclaim is not true. If the object of our faith and the object of your faith is not real, there's no weight behind it. There's no power behind it. It's not like, oh, I'm glad it works for you. If it's not true, it's not going to do anything. If there's no resurrection, Christians are believing lies. Lies don't change people. Lies don't save us. And we shouldn't be encouraging anyone to believe lies. And that's exactly what I would be doing and exactly what Paul would be doing if Christ wasn't victorious over the grave. Look at verse 15. That's what he says. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ. That's what we said. Whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So again, this is exactly what Paul is saying. If Christ isn't resurrected, he's a liar. He's misrepresented God himself, and everything he said is lies. So if this is the case, we as Christians could not rely on the bulk of the New Testament because much of it was written by the Apostle Paul, various other apostles, right? So we wouldn't be able to trust it. They would be liars if Christ didn't raise from the dead. I would be a liar. Our faith would be built on lies, and we'd be going in the world preaching lies to people. Think about it. If we can't stand on the word of God, if there's no resurrection, if Christ didn't conquer the grave, we can't stand on this as our foundation. Because what's our foundation? It's the word of God. We learned that in Ephesians. What's the church's foundation? Well, it's built on the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So if we can't trust that, if we can't stand on that, if that's not what I have to proclaim and that's not true, our foundation, we're going to stand on it and it's going to crumble. It's going to absolutely crumble. There's no true foundation if Christ did not conquer the grave. So can you see the consequences of no resurrection? How much hinges on it? But we're going to see more dire consequences. Because if we can't trust God's word, how is anyone ever going to be saved? Right? There's this doctrine of the script. Like, we need God to reveal to us how one is saved. If God does not reveal to us how one is saved, we're never going to figure it out as humans. No great philosophical mind is going to conjure up how to have a restored relationship with the living God. God needs to reveal the way of salvation, and praise God he has in his word, but if we can't trust that, there's no hope for us because Christ hasn't been raised and we're dead in our sins. Look at verses 16 through 17. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Because you see, the word of God is the thing that proclaims God's plan of salvation found in Christ crucified for our sins. And if he's not raised, you're dead in your sins. There was no penalty paid for them. Paul's hammering this home. If Christians have no hope of life for themselves beyond the grave, then Christ hasn't conquered it. It's kind of one or the other. Either Christ has been raised, he's done it, he was the Lord, he did defeat death. With God it is possible, and those who have trusted in him will be raised, or they won't. And he hasn't done it. Because if Christ didn't do it, certainly there's no hope for us to conquer the grave, no hope of a resurrection for us. So if these things are true, again, what we believe, our faith, it would be useless. Because if what we celebrate today did not happen, Jesus' death, what we celebrated on Friday, what we remembered on Friday, Joe mentioned, the wrath that Jesus tasted on our behalf, the penalty he paid, the cross he bore, if he didn't conquer the grave, it meant nothing. He was just a man who was crucified and is now dead. He's dead. There's no hope to be found in him because the resurrection is what validated that what happened on the cross was accepted by God. The resurrection is what the word tells us, gives us the assurance that the world is going to be judged based on one of two things, their sins or Christ. The resurrection was God's stamp of approval on the cross and the sacrifice made there. So no resurrection, no penalty for sin paid. Which means one day, you're going to stand before a holy God. You're going to stand before him. And if no Christ, no sacrifice made for sin, what are you going to say to him? What plea do you have? Because the only plea we have as Christians is Christ. So when you stand before him, if you can't plead Christ, what are you going to plead? Because he's perfect in his being, perfect in his attributes, perfectly just. Holiness so radiant that it outshines the sun. He must punish sin because that's what breaking his moral law demands. What are you going to say when you stand before him if you don't have Christ to plead? What plea do you have that he should accept you? Are you going to plead the good works that you've done? That's a scary thought. Gonna say to a holy God, you know, I did some good things. I did some good things. I'm generally a good person. Although the truth of the matter is I broke your commands every single day of my life. Whether I was conscious of it or not. But I wasn't as bad as this guy over here. So you should let me in. Hitler, he deserves your judgment, but I deserve heaven. Right? I was good enough. Right? Sometimes I didn't break the law. I'm not that guilty. What would a good judge do? What would a good, like, if that is just an earthly situation and a human being breaks the law, robs 7-Eleven, and goes before the judge, right? And says to the judge, you know I've robbed 7-Eleven, but there's occasionally sometimes I haven't been committing crime. Actually, most of the time I'm not committing crime. So you should let me get off for this crime scot-free. Would that be justice? Would that judge be good? Would he be righteous? Would he be just? No, he wouldn't. But this is how people think of Christianity. There's people even in the church that think of God this way. Like, people think, so there's this, let me see where we're at on time. There's this doctrine of God aspect called divine simplicity, right? We're complicated as humans, right? Sometimes I've got anger in my heart, even for my loved ones. And there's times where love is in my heart, all these different complex emotions and things going on. We're just really difficult to untangle. God is not like that. He is simple. He is simple in the sense that he is just, he is merciful, he is holy, he is good, he is all these different things. And it would be impossible for him to just ignore his justice for the sake of showing a sinner mercy. That's impossible. God can't contradict himself. So if he's gonna show mercy, justice must be served. How did that happen? The cross. The cross. And if we can't plea what happened there in Christ crucified, we have nothing to plea before a holy God. We would have nothing if we did not have Christ. Even if we say, well, I believe in Jesus. Like, I have faith in him, but if he didn't conquer the grave, it doesn't matter. Like, you and I, we can believe whatever we want. I can believe there's a chair behind me right now. And if I go to sit down in it, I'm gonna fall in front of you all this morning, right? Because there's not a chair behind me. I can believe in it as much as I want. But if the object of my faith wasn't real, wasn't true, was non-existent, trust in it all you want, but it's useless. It's useless. And if the object of our faith was not truly the Son of God, did not truly conquer the grave, did not truly defeat death, if he didn't do it all for us, our faith would be in vain. There'd be no hope. No hope for us, no hope for anyone. So If there's no hope for us because he didn't conquer the grave, that means that anyone who's ever died, there's no hope for them. Paul says in verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. All the funerals that we've attended to where we think it's where it is a celebration for the Christian, if Christ wasn't raised, there's actually no hope for them. Everyone who's ever died is gonna perish. They're gonna perish. Their hope would have been in vain too. Honestly, their only hope, because if there's not hope of the resurrection, that means the only hope we have is this world. The only hope we would have is this world. And what Paul says is, if our only hope is in this world, we are a sad people. We're a sad people. Look at verse 19 with me. Verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If we have hope in this life only, what true hope is there? Look at the world. It's broken. Where does the sick man find hope? If not in Christ, in the hope of the resurrection. Where's the poor man find hope? If not for the hope of the resurrection. Where's the suffering find hope if there's no hope of it ever ending? Where's the person walking through difficulty find hope if there's not truly a day when difficulty and strife and sorrow and pain and struggle will end? What hope could we possibly have if not for the resurrection? I mean, truly, if Christ didn't conquer the grave, the only logical conclusion is to eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Live it up here. If what we proclaim is not true, all that there is this life until it ends, and it's all stripped away, and you meet your Maker, and you have sin to account for. Think about the martyrs, all those who have died for their faith. They would be fools if all they truly had was this world to look forward to, because they gave it all. They gave their life for the sake of Christ. The Apostle Paul would have been a fool. All the suffering he went through, if all he had to hope in was this world, he would have been a fool if there was no hope of a resurrection. Many of the apostles died for their faith. That they would have just been fools if there was no hope of a resurrection. Think of even those first century Christians. They said, hey, I placed my fingers in his holes. We saw him. And they proclaimed him. And that was basically signing up for a death sentence. That was basically signing up for a death sentence. And if you weren't going to be killed for preaching Christ crucified and conquering the grave, you were going to suffer a lot. You were going to experience immense persecution, right? So they must have just been fools if there was no hope of the resurrection. No hope for them. But is there truly no hope? Was there truly no hope for them? No, they were actually wise. They looked towards a true hope that is not to be found in this world. They looked not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So these people who risked their lives for Christ, they were actually wise because they were hoping in something other than this world, something far better than it, because they knew what Paul says in verse 20 was true. Like, what's the hope? What's the hope? Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Paul, in essence, says, but my preaching was not in vain. My faith and your faith was not in vain. And Christian, your faith will not be in vain. Paul says, we are not liars. We are not dead in our sins. There is hope. Why is there hope? Because he has risen from the grave. Because God did receive the sacrifice. Because our sins were paid for. Because he is risen. We sang, up from the grave he arose. He arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Death was defeated, sin was defeated, and those who trust in him can live because there is life to be found in him. He died, yes, and praise God he died, because if he did not die, you would die. You would die, but he is alive forevermore. And he holds keys in his hands. And what are these keys he holds in his hands? They're the keys to death in Hades. He says, I'll say who lives and I'll say who dies. There's life in me, enter. There's only death otherwise. He is victorious. And here's the hope. As we look at a world that's broken, as we see sin and brokenness and death, and we're all gonna face it, we can have victory. We can have hope because of his victory. Because of his victory. We can share in what he accomplished. Because God's word tells us those who have trusted in him will not be put to shame. The word tells us he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The fact that Christ rose from the grave is a guarantee that there's gonna be more resurrections coming. There's gonna be more life to come. There is new creation. He's the first. You're following in his footsteps, Christian. You have what he has to look forward to. His conquering the grave, his resurrection, was the guarantee. We talked about in Ephesians, right? The guarantee, how the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation. Yes, sure. We can trust that we're gonna have eternal life because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But we can trust that we have a resurrection to come because of his resurrection. We are not to be pitied. We are not to be pitied because our hope is not in this world only. But instead, we have been given a hope and a future. And it's found in Christ alone. Verse 21 tells us this, for as by a man came death. Literal man came death. For by a man, a literal man, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What's this, especially if you're not a Christian, what's this talking about? So we all know the story of Adam and Eve. I would think, most even in a post-Christian society, most people have heard of this story, right? He brought death into the world. Like there's two representatives of humanity. Adam, what he did in the garden, he broke God's law, he tasted of the apple, and everyone's had a taste for sin since, and everyone's inherited, in essence, death. Everyone will die because of what Adam did in the garden. All die because of Adam. And all humans not represented by Christ are gonna die in Adam. They're gonna die in Adam. They're gonna experience the consequences of the fall, the consequences of their sin. Yes, physical death, spiritual death, ultimately the judgment of God. If you're in Adam, if you're a natural man, if you haven't trusted in Christ, if you don't have his resurrection power in you, there's no spiritual life in you. We have a world that wants to say, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. But they don't know what that means. Because to be spiritual, we would need to have the Spirit of the living God living in us. And if we're not in Christ, God is not in us. He is not. There's no claim to be had for being spiritual. If anyone is an Adam, if anyone is not in Christ, let me put it this way, he's an old creation. He's a dying creation, a lifeless creation. He's without hope in this world. And though God is so kind in his common grace to allow those who aren't in Christ to have fleeting pleasures in this world, to enjoy good things, there's gonna come a day and a time and a place where it all goes away. it all goes away. You're going to walk in your sins until you walk into eternity, disunited from the living God. You're going to fall off a cliff into eternal despair. But if anyone is in Christ, he has what Christ has. He has the life that Christ has. He is a new creation. He is made alive. And the same way those in Adam have no spiritual life, those who are in Christ have eternal life. We have it in us now. The same spirit that rose Christ from the grave lives in the Christian. But because he conquered the grave, again, we will no longer die. We will be raised with him. We have hope. We have everything that Christ has. Think about it. Christ is righteous. Christ is righteous. For those who have trusted him, we have become righteous. Christ is loved by the Father because he was the perfectly obedient Son. So those who have trusted in him have the love of the Father. Those who have trusted in him, we have all kinds of benefits in this world. As Christians, we experience his providence. He cares for us. He loves for us. We know he's going to give us what we need. But that is not our only hope. That is not our only hope. We know that there is a time to look forward to where Christ returns and he dwells on this earth. And we're going to be dwelling in it with him. As he restores it all. He restores it all. We have something better than this present world to look forward to. Yes, when we die, we'll be with Christ. We'll be in his presence. We have that to look forward to. Yes, we're not going to die in our sins. We don't have judgment coming for us. There's no condemnation for us. Like, amen to that. But there's going to be a time that Christ comes to this earth and establishes his kingdom fully here. And he's going to be here in his glorified body, reigning and ruling this earth. And we are where Christ is. So we're going to be here with him, ruling and reigning as he destroys sin permanently and all the effects of it in this world. At that day and time when our true hope comes back to return to this earth, and everything's transformed. These bodies, there's going to be no death. There's going to be no sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more suffering. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. But there's going to be nothing but us dwelling in the presence of a holy God for eternity. Because of Christ, because of what he's done, because he arose, what he's done is reverse the curse. Because that's why all these things happen. It's why all the pain and sorrow and suffering in the world exists. That's why you're going to die. That's why your loved ones die. That's why bad things happen. It's because of Adam and because of sin. But because of the second man, Christ, this is all going to be reversed. And those who trust in him will have this perfect world, this world, literal bodies on it, perfected like Christ for eternity. That's what we're going to have to look forward to. Like, this is why the Christian's funeral is a celebration, because it's not the end for them. It's really just the beginning. Until Christ returns for the second time, and we get our imperishable bodies that are undefiled, they're incorruptible, that will never die, and we will be with our God, enjoying him for eternity. And anyone who wants to trust in Christ will have this hope to look forward to. You need not die in Adam. You need not die in your sins, because the sacrifice, the penalty for sin had been paid, and it was accepted by the Father because he arose. He died so that man no more may die. to give the sons of earth second birth. So you need not die. You can trust in Christ. He is our hope. He is our only plea. He is all we have. And because he is a rose, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. He's done it all for us. We can trust in him. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you did what we could not. We thank you that you accomplished what we could not. We thank you that you did not leave us to perish in our sins because of the man Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have tasted death on our behalf so that we can have life with you. Help us to see the beauty of the life that we have in you. Help us to see the need for life in you, Lord. And help us to rest assured for those who have trusted in Christ. We have the hope of glory to look forward to. There is a time when this world will end for us and we will have a new world to look forward to. Help us to live in light of that day, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.